This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Who else? Jim Nance on CBS calling history. Rory completes the career slam, gets his first Masters, and it was a classic Rory round, yeah. Which it means hit at everything. It had some shots where you feel like he's the most physical marvel we've seen since Tiger, and then you have the inexplicable brain farts, missed putts, close putts, like for professional golf standards. And of course, this thing had to go to a playoff. Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. Perl, it couldn't have happened any other way. It was better for maximum drama for Rory that this thing actually had to go to an extra hole.
A lot of pressure on Jim Nance, because you know he had that line. And then he was probably thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to use my Rory line. Do I have a Justin Rose line?
It's like putting the driver back in the bag. It's like,
No, I know, and he probably didn't have a club for Justin Rose, Rose by any other name or something. He would have come up with something as Jim Nance, but you know that he Saturday night sat there and had a notebook full of lines, right? You have to.
I don't know if Nance is that kind of guy. I don't know if it's just like imagine. At the top of the dome, you know, whatever hits you. These guys are so skilled.
No. We talked to a lot of guys about this. They all think about their line.
I think so, but also you got to let the moment happen. You know, you can't shoehorn it, you can't force it, and Nance did, and it's really about Rory, though, and it's really funny to me and interesting because Rory finally gets the monkey off of his back of not winning a major for a decade, never being able to win the Masters, having one of his biggest meltdowns be at the Masters back in 2011, and just the excruciating way he kept losing some of these majors. I saw this written, and I thought it was really good. How could someone so blessed be so cursed? And that's what it felt like with Rory. He's got all the talent of the world. He's the face of the tour. He's got everything, yet these horrible losses where he has all these leads going into the final round of the majors and then kept blowing it. And yesterday, you thought he was going to blow it. I mean, 18, he's standing there for the Masters and missed the putt to send it to a playoff. It almost felt like Shakespearean. And to his credit, he gutted through it. Whatever he had to do to get his mind right, he did in that playoff hole because it was spectacular.
Yeah, I'm really curious how he plays moving forward. Next time he's in a pressure situation, is all the pressure gone? Can you imagine, say it was Scheffler playing against him, Scotty Scheffler, who's won two Masters. Is he going to fold again in that situation where you expect Scheffler not to fold for some reason?
Well, he had Justin Rose right there. See, that's why I think
Rose had already finished, though. Say he was live.
If Bryson DeChambeau was right there with him, do you think he was paired with?
But obviously, McIlroy did not come up big at the first 18.
Sure.
I'm just wondering next time around, like now that he has won this, I think you said this earlier in the show. Is the pressure the same, or is he going to be able to get over that mental hurdle?
I'm curious because he's 35 years old, and it's not like he had never won before. You know, he was a champion. It just had been so long in the majors drought and all of the close losses that I feel like now with him unburdened in this way, like what could the next, 5 years of his career really look like is fascinating to me. All right, let's get the thoughts of an expert, shall we, Perloff? One of our absolute favorites is David Dusek. He's a senior writer for Golf Week, and he's good enough to join us now. The day after, David, an all-time epic finish. Like, where do you put this in terms of, you know, majors, masters, in terms of finishes? Like, where do we put this in golf lore? Good morning.
Good morning. I think the most recent Masters that we've had that was anywhere close to this was probably 2019 when Tiger Woods won. I mean, that one was epic for very different reasons. Obviously, that was Tiger Woods' fifth Masters. But the comeback story, the culmination of the comeback story was enormous. And the outpouring of love that you saw from the patrons and from a lot of other players, that meant a lot to a lot of people. Before that, maybe you go back to Tiger in 1997, which had social and, you know, societal ramifications to it. The first black man to ever win the Masters. That was absolutely epic, the way that he won it. You're going to have to go back really far to come up with a more popular winner of any tournament, besides those two that I think I just mentioned, that sort of matches what Rory did there. You saw from other players and other competitors, the fans, what it meant to see him just literally break down on the 18th against Rose, who in and of himself is a popular player. You're not going to hear a lot of people saying bad things about Justin Rose. Sort of along the same lines when Tom Watson was trying to win a British Open years ago and was going up against Stuart Sink, who's another all-time great guy. No one was rooting for Stuart Sink. They all wanted Watson at age 54 to win to win the British Open. So I felt bad in some ways for Rose, but boy, Maggie, and this one goes deep, but you know, until you start to get to something that's this meaningful to this number of people.
David, how popular is Rory? Is he far and away the most popular golfer in the world right now?
Well, certainly, you know, this morning, you know, he's going to be the apex. There's no question about it. And I think one of the reasons for that, and I'm not knocking him, Scottie Scheffler does not have that big charisma. Coming off of last season when he dominated, there was every opportunity for a big character or a big personality to really dominate the whole scene. The guy just was winning, it seemed like, every single week. But that's just not who he is, and that's okay. Rory has been the leader of the PGA Tour's movement for several years as far as the face out in front of the LIV versus PGA Tour arguments. He has been exceptionally well-spoken and well thought of. He has won since he was a young man and broke through a congressional to win his U.S. Open, you know, a decade and a half ago. He's been a prolific winner. And in a lot of ways, he became a very sympathetic figure at this tournament, at the Masters, having imploded.
Oh, we lost our connection.
The way he did, very publicly, but almost talking with the media, being a good guy in terms of just like making himself available and being very.
Oh, you know what? Our connection's not so great. Manny, why don't we do this? Why don't we grab David on the phone? Just because I don't want to get his thoughts interrupted. This stuff is so good.
Yeah.
And he's being awesome. David Dusek from Golf Week is joining us. But if the connection's not good, want to have him call back on the hotline number?
I think I see Bryson DeChambeau is out there around the corner, pulled a plug from something in David's office at home.
Yeah, I think that DeChambeau, Bryson, who also handled it graciously. You know, he's seething underneath.
did he handle it graciously?
I thought he did. I mean, he basically said that the course got so fast, slick, you know, that it was not that he said he couldn't handle it, but, you know, he said it really kind of snuck up on him. We'll get back to David Dusek and Rory in just a moment.
Did Bryson have to say that Rory didn't talk to me all day?
He was asked specifically the question.
Yeah.
What did you say to Rory? What did he say to you? And I think he was just being honest about it. It's better not to lie about that stuff.
Because he could have been a little more diplomatic. Yeah, we didn't really talk much. Say something like that.
Okay, David Dusek is back with us. He's a senior writer for Golf Week. Okay, David, you were in the middle of explaining Rory's you know, fame and how this catapults him even higher. Go ahead.
That was...
Uh-oh. It's us.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Can I tell you, while we try to troubleshoot this with David, can I tell you the funny Bryson DeChambeau story?
Did
you guys
definitely.
See this? Yeah. So the story is that Bryson DeChambeau apparently famously likes to play in the dark. He likes to go to the range in the dark.
Okay.
So there's a couple who lives in Augusta. They're called the Pearmans, and they're really big golf fans, and they created, like, in their backyard, this golf setup that has floodlights so that they can play at night. And apparently Bryson DeChambeau sort of wandered into their backyard and asked if he could play in the setup that they have. And they're like, hey, it's Bryson DeChambeau. And he goes, yeah, and I'm Jack Nicklaus. And go, oh my gosh, it actually is you. And he played and like gave these people who live in Augusta this incredible memory.
That's nice.
Okay, so we're going to try to get David Dusek back on here because he's one of our faves. You're asking about the popularity of Rory. Again, I think it's always been, I don't know if it's a matter of popularity to me. It's just like, how are you thought of? Are you thought of as a winner or are you thought of as a loser? And I think despite the fact that he had won multiple majors before this, he was thought of as a loser, as a choker. And that changed yesterday, in my opinion. Okay, we got David back. David, I'm sorry. This is obviously our fault on our end. Continue your thought on Rory and what this means for him.
No, I think that it's enormous. I mean, I think for him personally, you know, it's the monkey off the back. It's the opportunity for him now to go about his career, which he's still got easily 5 or 7 years of prime Rory McIlroy golf to go. The fact that I think mentally and emotionally he's going to be freed up from the burden of being asked time and time again, when are you going to win the Masters? When are you going to complete the career Grand Slam? How are you going to sort of get this done? It's done. He doesn't have to deal with that ever again. And I think that it will be an enormous burden that he doesn't have to bear anymore. And you saw that coming out of him when he collapsed. You saw that coming out of him when he hugged his caddy, Harry Diamond, who's been a lifelong friend of his. You saw that coming out of him when he hugged, you know, all the different players, when you saw Shane Lowry, especially, who he's grown up with and played so much golf with, and, you know, countrymen. It's a huge thing for him to have released. And I think that one of the reasons why it becomes so compelling and why so many people are really drawn to it is right now it's authentic. You know, it's not manufactured for YouTube. It's not something that is created, you know, it basically for the cameras. What you saw from Rory was exactly what you would have seen from him had cameras not been rolling, had there not been microphones put in front of him, had he not been asked these questions. This was something that he really felt and he worked at for over a decade. So, yes, it's probably that much more meaningful for him this morning, having gone through all that, but it's, I think, going to be still one of the most popular and one of the most well-respected achievements that he's going to have throughout his career.
David Dusek is joining us from Golf Week. I was just saying that to Perloff. Somehow, David, I think he becomes known as even a greater champion because of all of the heartbreak and the losses. I don't know why that exists in sports, but I think it actually helps him. Now he's in this inner circle, you know, being the sixth golfer to have the career slam on the men's side. I think it adds to the lore and adds to him as a champion somehow having all those failures.
It's such a distinguished group of players that he now enters in with. And it's funny how we look at, I think, a lot of different individuals and a lot of teams differently when they finally break through and achieve it. All of a sudden, the shortcomings become, oh my gosh, look at how many opportunities they had over this time period. And just the lens of it changes. You know, similarly, Phil Mickelson went a lot of years winning regular PGA Tour events and never breaking through in major championships until he finally won the 2004 Masters. And then the floodgates opened for him. And people looked then back at his record and was like, gosh, you know, the guy's gotten so close to this many U.S. Opens. He had so many different chances here and there, and he finally was able to break through. It just changes the way that we look at things. With McIlroy, having seen his entire career, you know, in color TV, in, for the most part, the post-Tiger, you know, run. I mean, he comes out, and Rory comes to the United States in 2010, and Tiger's already going through a lot of this different scandal stuff. He's not the same player he was in the early 2000s, late 90s. Rory, you could argue, has been one of the most dominant players at the week-to-week PGA Tour events that we've had, you know, short of Scottie Scheffler over the last sort of 2 or 3 years. It's something where you just see this really steady level of excellence. You know, Rory hasn't gone through the 2-year slump where all of a sudden he fell into the 20s or 30s in the world rankings. He's been a stalwart at the top. He's huge in Ryder Cups. One of the things, you know, that we're going to enjoy is that Ryder Cup this year comes to Bethpage, and that'll be at the end of September. And Rory obviously will be playing for the European team. I wonder if Rory's not going to be the most popular player on either team, even though he's playing against the United States. It's going to be hard for people to root against Rory McIlroy. They'll find a way to do it, I'm sure, at Bethpage, and they'll be well hydrated. They'll find a way. but Rory McIlroy is so beloved here in the U.S. He's obviously based in Florida. He married a woman from Rochester, New York. Maggie, cheers for upstate New York. There we go. it's really easy to be a Rory McIlroy fan, especially after he wins like he did yesterday.
So, David, who do you think is the favorite? You got three majors left coming into, say, the PGA. Is it Rory? Now, do people expect him to be a little bit better now that he's got the monkey off his back?
I think that Rory gets a pass, honestly, for the rest of this year. I think that he will be competing, and I think that he could certainly contend. The one that he is going to be eyeing, he's going to be eyeing every golf tournament he plays in. If you asked him, which one do you want, it'll be the British Open going back to Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. He grew up 10 miles away from that golf course. Wow. He blew his opportunity to win it when it was there in 2019, and his buddy Shane Lowry won it. Rory would love to win the Open at Portrush. The PGA Championship being at Quail Hollow outside of Charlotte in about a month or so, that's going to be open for business. We could see a lot of people. I could see Bryson DeChambeau coming back and winning someplace like that. I could see Scottie Scheffler winning there. The U.S. Open going back to Oakmont will be an absolute brute. That'll be the hardest of the four, without question. Will Rory have been able to recover emotionally, physically in this game? I don't know, but I think, honestly, for the rest of this year, Rory gets a pass.
David Dusek is joining us. He's a senior writer for Golf Week and good enough to stick around for a couple more minutes. And David, you mentioned this is clearly the apex for Rory, right? Yesterday, the dramatic win in a sudden death, you know, playoff hole against Justin Rose. What do you think was the nadir? What's the opposite? What was the lowest moment, do you think, from Rory over this decade drought of majors?
Blowing, you know, his opportunity to win the Masters, what was it, back in 2011, I think it was, when he hit a tee shot on 10 that went left of Atlanta. I mean, that ball, it was so bad, and he would be the first person to admit it was one of the worst shots he'd ever hit, and to lose a four-shot lead on the back nine Sunday is pretty bad. I really thought that we might see it again when he rinsed with his approach shot on 13 yesterday. He lays up, which I thought was a fine, you know, tactic, and he goes three wood and then lays up onto the par five and then hits it into Race Creek. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. This is going to be worse. And thankfully for Rory and his team, it wasn't. That one, when Rory went left off 10 and blew a four shot lead, that was tough. That was really tough.
Hey, David, who's the next guy that we root for to break through in golf?
You know, I think that if you really wanted to, in 4 weeks, again, like I said, we're going back to the PGA Championship. I don't think it's going to happen. But as far as, like, you know, completing the career Grand Slam, Jordan Spieth has not won a PGA Championship, but he's got a green jacket. He's won a U.S. Open, and he won a British Open at Royal Birkdale. You know, so you've got the same story. I don't think Spieth's game right now is anywhere close to where Rory is or what we've seen from Scheffler and stuff like that. But I think if Spieth were able to get himself into the mix going into Saturday, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that's going to echo from what we've heard this last week, which is, hey, Rory completed the career Grand Slam 4 weeks ago at Augusta. Can Spieth pull it off this week in Charlotte? And the course, Quail Hollow, hosts a regular PGA Tour event every year. There's a lot of familiarity. All the players know it. I think that something somewhat similar to this would be Spieth going for the career Grand Slam at the PGA.
David, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Sorry for the technical issues. You're awesome for rolling with the punches. And what a fantastic moment for golf. I really feel that. Perloff thinks the people who are emotional about Rory are faking it.
I didn't say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it.
Perloff, do you hate puppies and old people too? What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, okay, David, you will give me this. There are a lot of neutral people who did want to see the choking down the back nine just for a more entertaining television product. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, there's always going to be the casuals at any sport who want to just see, like, carnage and train wrecks. You know, they watch NASCAR because they want to see somebody wipe out a Talladega or something like that. I get that, but you're better than that, Perloff. Come on.
He's not.
I can't wait. Now that
he really isn't. No, that's what we're learning. He really isn't better than that, is he?
Yeah, I can't wait for the U.S. Open now. That sounds like it's going to be a mess.
Oakmont is going to be like a steel cage Texas death match. That place is just another level. So I'll look forward to talking with you guys from Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
David, thank you. Read him on Golf Week. You can follow him on social. David Dusek is the absolute best. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
You got it.
yes, he doesn't know you well enough. We know
David,
you.
Oh, I don't. I've known David a long time. No, he knows me very well.
We're lucky enough to know Dave for a long time. Hell of a tennis player, Dave Dusek. But he
former pro.
I know. Yeah. If he didn't think you were possible, it was possible for you to be rooting for the Rory train wreck, then maybe just hasn't been around you.
I am like you. I'm glad that he did win it, but we needed some juice. I needed something to watch on Sunday.
Well, you had it.
Yeah, for a long time, it felt like we weren't going to have it. So he's right. Casuals, we had a close. I'd rather it went down the way it did than for Rory to win by five.
Okay, so if Jordan Spieth now is kind of like the next guy to like break a drought, I feel like this is shaping up to be the year of the drought busters.
Okay.
Because UConn hadn't won a national championship in a decade, right? Yeah. They'd been back to Final Fours and stuff, but it had been a long time.
You mean the women?
Yeah. Florida, the men's team.
Yeah, but there was no emotion around that. It wasn't, nobody was tracking whether the Florida Gators would get back there.
I'm just saying it's been a while. And now you got Rory, who had a decade-long majors drought. Maybe that's the theme for 2025. It's like the people, like big comebacks. Like Jordan, if Jordan Spieth wins the PGA and completes the career Grand Slam, he hasn't won a major since the British Open, as David said, the Open Championship, pardon me, in 2017. Like, this could be it, guys. The question is, does it count as a drought for the Lakers? It's only 5 years.
Well, you were thinking the Lakers. I was thinking about the Knicks.
The Knicks would be a huge drought buster. I mean, that was 1973.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real drought. It's the funny thing is some people don't count the bubble title. So if you don't count the bubble title, then the drought, I guess, becomes bigger.
Yeah, definitely.
But I know one person who definitely counts it, LeBron James.
I know.
I mean, the Eagles obviously wasn't a drought buster. Was Ohio State a drought buster? They hadn't won since Zeke, right? Did they win with Zeke?
I think that's a one. I think that's one.
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, because everyone kept saying how like they couldn't beat Michigan. And like they were this paid roster that couldn't win.
No, I'm not going to give you that one. I don't think that one's a drought.
I don't know. Maybe Ohio State does fit the mold here.
Is that really the narrative coming into that game? Is like, wow, Ohio State can finally break this drought?
Nah,
because they're playing Notre Dame, who's a much bigger drought. Drought.
Going into that Tennessee game, though, that definitely was a conversation. Like, oh, they're going to really blow it against a team that's going to take over their own stadium because the fans don't think they have any shot. Like, it changed when we saw, oh, wait, they got the best players in the tournament, so maybe they'll win.
But Notre Dame, that's a drought.
That's a real drought, definitely.
And Notre Dame, Penn State.
You have your Bengals and your Lions and your never ones and your Bills.
Yeah.
Is that is it the same category? The Bills a drought?
No, that's different. That's a first timers club.
First timer. Yes, no, it's definitely different.
This is very different. Like Rory had already won multiple majors before yesterday. He just not won the Masters and not at the Career Slam and not won a major in 10 years. I think it's more of a drought buster.
Well, there's no way you could call the Lakers a drought. They won this decade and they haven't even been close since.
No, I think the Knicks are the better. I mean, that would be that's an all-timer. You're going back to the 70s.
Well, yeah, I guess the Cavs obviously would be it. I think Cavs would be a nice drought buster.
Well, they won.
But yeah, again, 16. It was 2016. So.
Yeah, but that was one title for Cleveland in 70 years. Like, I think we can hold off the Cavs.
I think it's 10 years. I think if it's 10, just like Rory, a decade, then it's considered a drought.
Yeah, Cleveland's a different team, too, so it's a different category. All right, I'm glad we're laying out the sports rules. You need sports rules. You can't just willy-nilly decide what this is.
So you mean to tell me that the Yankees' drought would be over? They call that a drought as well?
That's
definitely
a drought.
I definitely agree.
I think 09, the Yankees are in a crazy drought. Now, they made the World Series last year, so that helps.
That didn't happen.
But it only counts as a drought if your team is close in the interim. Like, Rory kept getting close. The Yankees keep getting close. Ohio State kept getting close. I don't think Cleveland
disappeared. UConn women kept getting close.
I also think your pedigree counts, too, because I think for the Yankees, like again, 15 years for the Cavaliers, I don't think matters because that's not a winning franchise. For the Yankees, we expect them to win every year. So 15 years is almost like 70 years in like Cleveland years, right?
Yep.
So I think that's a big difference as well. I think Rory kind of felt that a little bit because I think Rory he has a pedigree of being one of the best golfers. He's already won a lot of majors. So 10 years felt almost like 30 because it was like, how could a guy this talented keep falling short?
Yeah, not win. And he kept choking. I mean, obviously, the answer is the Dallas Cowboys. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. That's a pretty big drought.
We're only talking about teams that could possibly win.
That's right, Pearl.
Okay, lots more to do, including it is a Monday, which means the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? And we've got football news for you of the NFL variety. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We have made an important distinction. Rory broke a drought. different than Maggie's Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals right. or the Detroit Lions or what the Cubs did. Those are first-timers. So now we're wondering, Maggie, what did you call it? The year of the drought? Drought buster?
The year of the drought buster. Now, Rory did win his first Masters, but it wasn't his first major. And it felt more like a drought. I think that was the catharsis of the whole thing. That was the sobbing. That was the exhale. That it's not just winning the first green jacket. It was all those failures at two U.S. Opens, at a different Masters, at St. Andrews, you know, for the Open Championship. Like, well, to me, it felt like a drought.
I don't think you would have the same emotion if it was at one of the other majors. I don't think if he had won the PGA, it would have been as intense. Because he did apparently have a fascination with the major, with the Masters.
Yeah, it's like Wimbledon. Like, I feel like it's all the majors, but one kind of stands above
the rest.
Yeah,
if he had won the PGA, do you think he would have gotten down on his knees sobbing? I don't think so. In fact, because we've almost seen it like three or four times. It felt like there was more pent-up emotion here, especially at Augusta.
I think Augusta's, you know, like a magical kind of place, yes. But I think if it was the same playoff, the sudden death hole, the fact that he had choked away the lead and then got it back, and then Justin Rose is there. Like, yeah, I think we would have been, I think at that moment, we wouldn't have cared about the venue. It would have been about the major.
I don't know. If it had been the PGA, the redheaded stepkid of the...
these are hard to win for all. Like, I think he would have taken it.
Come on, you know, everyone knows there's a pecking order amongst these four majors.
Well, that's definitely true. Billy is in Toronto. Billy, what'd you think of Rory yesterday?
Well, first of all, Maggie, I hope you're right about this drought. We got a team up here in Toronto that hasn't won the Stanley Cup since '67. So
that's the ultimate.
Definitely.
The ultimate drought right there.
Definitely would be part of this conversation.
Yeah, listen, guys, I see this golf tournament, and I watch a lot of golf. I watch the whole thing, and I just see it differently. Rory, you escape with your life. I mean, I just can imagine what would have happened if Justin Rose had shot there an extra, stopped like it was supposed to. They both birdie the hole, and they're still playing. Rory, you broke down on the course. I'll tell you what you should have done. If you know those golf covers that you have on your clubs, you should have put one over your head and walked off the course, because that was flat out embarrassing. Listen, I've said it a million times. You can hit a bad shot. I get it. Maybe he hits one behind a tree or something. It's tough. But, man, you can't be in eagle range and hit one in the creek and another one in the sand trap. You absolutely escape with your life. And I was rooting. I like Rory, but I was rooting for Rose because I wanted to see the uproar in the newspapers and everything the next day. And finally, Jim Nantz. You're a legend. I get it. I get that you're a legend. But my God, I had to shut the damn TV off after listening to go through Rory's whole life. You're the one that probably put him in that slump. Every time you said something, Rory did something bad. Jim, stop looking for the signature call. Just call the damn sport, because I missed the whole broadcast because I turned the damn thing off having to listen to you.
Hold on one second. This is you're really pulling a pearl off going against the grain on this thing. So even after Rory pulls out this miraculous thing, you said he's fighting for his life out there, you know, golf-wise, he wins the playoff against Justin Rose in a sudden death, and you're still not giving him credit? You're still thinking about the opportunities he blew in the final round?
Listen, he's one of the top three golfers in the world. I'm not giving him no credit. I'm not giving LeBron James credit. I'm not giving superstars credit that are supposed to come through. You escaped with
me. He came through. Yeah.
Okay, all right. No, I agree with you, Maggie. Yes, he did come through. But, Maggie, come on, man. Come on. He won that thing by 7-8 strokes.
Well, you're right. But you know what? For Max, Billy, you're the best. That was funny. For maximum drama, I'm kind of glad. You know, if he had just cruised to a 5-stroke lead, I don't think you're getting the tears. Maybe later, but not. We saw some raw emotion there on 18.
Right. I mean, I think it brings up an interesting question. If Justin Rose had won, would this be one of the top five chokes? Are we talking about Greg Norman level?
Oh, yeah.
Is it worse than what happened last year to Rory?
Yes. I think it would have been worse.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, last year there was two short putts.
Yeah,
right?
Two bogeys. He bogeyed three of the last four holes and missed the short putts on 16 and 18. And Bryson DeChambeau ended up winning that by a stroke.
I think it is worse because it's the Masters. And I think that means more.
Probably. And also, I think it's like you're supposed to learn something eventually, right? Like at some point, these close losses and these haunting losses are, you're supposed to change. You're supposed to come back stronger. And he actually did it. You're giving him credit, though, right? Billy was not.
Yeah, I understand exactly what Billy's talking about. I mean, he missed shots that he should not have missed. And you know who would tell you that? Rory McIlroy would look back the rounds and be like, wow, I should have been much better. And you could hear him afterwards. One thing that is not against the grain, I think lots of people thought Jim Nantz jinxed him throughout the afternoon. Because
Rory to glory? That
hello,
part?
Friends.
Yeah, it's shot of a lifetime. There was a lot of, I think people were worried that Jim kind of gave it to Rory a little too early. But I get it. I get what
for the moment a little too much.
No. Just basically.
You crowned him.
We all know how sports works. Basically, everything we say and we do affects the outcome. Even though Rory couldn't hear Jim, the universe could. And you felt like Jim had, I don't know. It was you felt like Jim had thought the tournament was over. That's sort of what, and we all did. You know why? Because we all thought it was over. We had no idea Justin Rose was going to hit that putt at the end. Like, there was no way what happened could have happened. But so I think you're right. He's against the grain saying Rory screwed up, but he's with the grain saying Nantz almost cost him the entire title.
Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us. And Jim Nantz, he's not known as one of the great jinxers, though. Like, when I think of announcer jinxes, I think people believe Joe Buck is probably a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, Buck does that. There was a lot of people thought.
Al Michaels.
I saw this tweet several times. Nobody, even Jim Nantz wanted that final putt on 18 to go in more than Rory did. because you've done broadcast, Maggie. Like, you have a flow. Like, you have to sort of use your energy at the right times. Like, Nantz was gearing up to make the historic call, and then the putt missed.
Here we go.
I mean, Bogus is play-by-play. You know what this is like.
That must have been tough for Nantz, right?
I mean, of course. And he got the call ready. It's the perfect moment for anybody, but for Rory to hit the putt to finally win it. But then he got right away again. He got it again on 18.
Yeah.
He still got it. And he made the putt to win. It wasn't like Rose missed. So it could be a very celebratory call.
Do you think that he wrote the line masterpiece where he has his masterpiece in advance?
Yes.
I mean, Tirico had a roar? That was his play on words, right?
Tirico's sounded natural. I thought Nantz had that ready. Mm. Had his masterpiece ready.
Yeah, because that was not a masterpiece. Rory said that. He was like, I don't think anyone has ever double bogeyed four times in a tournament and won.
Oh, that's a great point. I didn't know Rory said that. Rory's kind of with Billy then a little bit.
I think that he meant the playoff hole. That was a masterpiece. He birdied 18. I mean, that was beautiful.
He meant the whole thing.
I think he meant the tournament.
It's pretty good. Well, it's still a good line, even if it wasn't a masterpiece.
Great line. Nobody answered my text. He had said master's piece.
Mm.
Think
like a masterpiece.
Play on words?
I think there was a reason why that went unanswered.
That's a bit of a
it's a bit of a pun.
I know. But they all are. I mean, Ryan Rucco, my friend, did the book of Beckers at the end of the WNBA, the basketball championship. Like, that was a pun.
Well, what about how about my dad joke not getting any love this weekend?
I told you it was too good to be free.
Oh, well, I thought you were kidding.
What was your dad joke?
You were still away in parts unknown. when Nico didn't show up at practice, I asked, hold on, can you get the word in?
Yeah.
You
tweeted it.
Yes.
Tennessee QB Nico Iamaleava isn't showing up for the spring program. Do we know if they are volunteer practices?
You really want a response to that?
Just the worst.
I did put # dad joke, just to be clear what I was doing.
No, we got it. I don't think we needed the hashtag.
Volunteer practices? Who's with me?
Nobody, apparently.
That was bad.
That wasn't a master's piece.
Someone was going to ram that power tee down your throat.
You got to get the lat of me.
I saw EJ exited the text thread. I was like, what is going on here?
A joke so bad, he just had to abandon ship.
Volunteer practices.
Yeah, no, we got it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're the Tennessee Volunteers.
NFL has voluntary practices.
Okay.
You were mad about Manny naming random European countries where Maggie was staying last week?
Allegedly.
He was really into it, though. That was the a strange thing. he had these scenarios of what you were doing that were quite creative.
Yeah, it turns out it was a mix-up where Manny thought that I was trying to gatekeep where I went on vacation from him. Meanwhile, I just thought he knew. So that's it. There was really no big mystery here.
I had as many clues as Shohei Ohtani did with Ipe.
It was not that interesting. Although something really heinous did happen on the vacation. We'll get to that in a moment. I was in Mexico. Bogus is here. Or headlines.
Long after the opening double bogey, shortly after blowing a four-shot lead over 11 over holes 11 through 14, Rory McIlroy still could have won the Masters in regulation.
McIlroy steps in. Can he do it? Rory looks at the hole. Putter back and through. And he missed on the left.
Maggie, you're right. I love Mike Tirico, Masters Radio, Sirius XM, whispering like he's on Rory's shoulders during that putt.
You're never supposed to whisper on radio. It's like a major, you would never do that.
He's in a sealed
event.
Booth. He can't be heard.
I thought he was in a crow's nest.
But he's not, I don't think he's in the open air where he's going to disturb McIlroy.
Is that a known rule of radio? Don't whisper on radio? I've never heard that one.
I don't know that either. I definitely...
Supposed to talk about a certain...
It's golf. He might hear me.
Why aren't you supposed to whisper on radio?
Because it sounds bad. It sounds terrible.
I think it sounds cool.
Isn't this what ASMR does?
It's not a ghost story.
But you're saying that like it's an established rule of radio.
All I know
you get into this business.
Stop whispering.
What's the first thing you said? Whatever you do, don't whisper on air because it's not something that comes up a lot.
Maybe this is just specifically me. A long time ago, I got a chance to interview Drew Brees, and it was at this random event.
And he told you this?
No. And Drew Brees is like, yeah, amateur. And it was weird because there were all these people around, and I was self-conscious, so I was talking very quietly. We got back to Sports Illustrated, and they said, this is not usable. Mm-hmm. Why are you whispering?
Yeah, why'd you break the first rule of radio, Maddie?
For a video interview.
The only rule that I've actually heard is that
Drew Brees.
You're not allowed to talk about whether certain fictional characters are real or not. That is the one rule I've always heard.
And there's also a line we cannot say, which I'm not even going to get there because I don't want Dave Marinick to like be sweating. Yeah. But there's a very famous line that's been trademarked that we can't say.
Right. That's the second guard rule. Basically, if there are kids in the car, you can't talk about certain things. And then you are definitely can't say that. That line is worse than basically your company goes bankrupt in 3 seconds if you say that line. You lose every lawsuit that ever was.
They put the fear of God into us that we can't say that line. So we're not going to say it.
Yep. It's like Voldemort.
Yeah. And no fake emergencies either.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
That's like the Hindenburg going down.
You can't play the emergency alert noise for fun.
You don't want to play sirens if you can because people in their car would think there's a siren behind
them. Like War of the Worlds, you can't do it anymore.
You shouldn't play a lot of like gunshots or explosions either, right?
So, in case people are in their cars.
Yeah, they may think that this wasn't
it. You can mimic grenade tosses, but that's it.
Oh, can you now?
Yeah.
When I was doing the sequel bracket, doing Die Hard was tough because there's a lot of
sounds of alarm drivers,
sirens. And I was like, cursing. It's like, how do I find a clip that is usable for this show? And it kept winning. It was almost made the final four.
Die Hard?
Die Hard 2, yeah.
Lee 8. Yeah, it made Lee 8.
It's a good movie.
So Rory won the Masters, beating Justin Rose on that playoff. First a playoff at Augusta in 8 years. Rory finally has the career Grand Slam 11 years after winning his last major and 14 years since throwing away a four-shot final round lead at Augusta. From the NBA, the Blazers have signed head coach Chauncey Billups to a multi-year extension a few days after giving GM Joe Cronin the same thing. Portland improving by 15 wins this season.
Good for Billups.
Penn State pass rusher Abdul Carter visiting the Patriots today. As far as we know, this is his last scheduled pre-draft meeting. And the Cubs won their rubber game at Dodger Stadium 4-2 on Sunday Night Baseball, but they are losing lefty starter Justin Steele to season-ending elbow and forearm surgery. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. I'll tell you the bad thing that happened to me on my very fun vacation to parts unknown. And also, we've got more NFL news for you that will impact the draft. I'm certain of it. We'll get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray and Japerla. Talking about Rory McIlroy, and could this year be shaping up to be the end of the droughts, the drought breakers? Could that be our theme for these champions? Not first-timers, although Rory won the Masters for the first time yesterday, Pearl, but I'm talking about the decade-long drought between majors, yep. The painful, excruciating losses. We had this with the UConn women. They were getting close but hadn't won in a decade. The Florida men had been even longer than that, although we weren't really tracking that maybe in the same way that Rory, but lo and behold, here we are.
Football team, that's a drought, the Florida football team.
Now, that would be a big drought. I said the ultimate one is the Dallas Cowboys, and Sean is in Oregon, thinks that the Cowboys are due. What's up, Sean?
Hey, welcome back from your vacation, Maggie.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you've been doing a great job. You know, I listen to a lot of sports shows, and you're one of the only women I know for sports shows that hold things down. And last month was Women's History Month, and I just wanted to give you some cred there for that, because you do a great job, and you deserve your vacation. I hope you had a great time.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It was great.
Yeah, Sean, Maggie told you where she was going, right?
I went to Manny.
I'm one of those guys. I'm terrible about calling people. I used to house sit for a couple different friends of mine, and I was kind of bummed out because my friend quit having me house sit for him, and I realized, well, I called him every couple days, you know, and he didn't like that, and I just realized I was I should have never done that. But I'm always one of those people. I'm proactive, and if anything's going on around your place or I have any questions, I always ask. You know, I'm good about that.
Well, I think that's a good quality to have in a house sitter.
Well, I just wanted to touch, you know, you guys talk about the people going through droughts, and I hear about the Cowboys going through a drought every week. Like, you talk about droughts, you know, it's the most valued sports franchise in the world. And I really like to see Jerry Jones get that monkey off his back before, because, you know, nobody sticks around forever. And he'll be truly one of the most missed owners of all time, because, you know, I do believe that he cares about his team more than almost everybody. He's one of the only owners that actually played the sport. You know, he played there with Jimmy Johnson, you know, at Arkansas.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could just imagine if I was an owner like that, you know, really what he feels about it and how he thinks. That's why, you know, he treats his players really good. You know, he treats his people, his community, really good.
Yeah. The only thing is, rooting for Jerry Jones, though, there's something that doesn't feel right about that, Sean. It's like rooting for the billionaire,
right.
You know?
He's already won
at life in so many different ways, and it's his own fault that he ran Jimmy Johnson off.
I agree, you guys. I agree. And I used to root against the Cowboys a lot, you know, in the 90s and all that. I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And I still remember that 95 Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell.
Sure.
And Neil O'Donnell throwing that interception. We could have won that game. But I'm telling you, America's kicked him for long enough. He's been at the butt of the jokes for a long, long time.
Butt of the jokes, he's like the 0.0001% of this world. But, Sean, I get your point. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for the compliment. I think it's the Cowboys and the Yankees that get asked the most about their droughts. Definitely. Like, you come into any season, it's like, when are you going to win? When are you going to win? We don't do that with all teams that haven't won in a long time.
The Yankees Cowboys a little more so because it's longer, 15 years longer. And the Yankees, but the Yankees, correct me if I'm wrong here, they cut back on spending a little bit. If they had been the evil empire and just really, really been number one in spending, it would be different.
Well, that's because the Dodgers and the Mets now are operating in like a totally different universe. But the Yankees still spend.
They still spend, but there were years where the Red Sox outspent them. Phillies outspent them. So it was different. Right around 2003-04, when they had that high payroll and didn't win, that was a drought. By the way, did you say drought breaker because you didn't want to say drought buster? Because we all know what that means.
So women don't have that kind of saying in our.
Is that because we don't have droughts?
Well, yeah, we don't have to work as hard.
Right, because if you just want to, you can.
Yeah, I've never heard a woman just being like, man, that's just real. Yeah.
Wait.
It's generally not one of our big things. I got 99 problems. That's not one, I guess, is how I would put this if Jay-Z was going to be writing this. I know what a drought buster is. I have been staying away from that.
Because if we say it's the year of the drought buster, that means
Manny's time is coming.
Wow. There we go.
Welcome back.
Boom.
This is only going to further fuel people thinking Manny and I have some kind of beef. Couldn't be further from the truth.
The hell did I do to you? Why are you so mean to me?
I'm inviting you on the next vacation.
I'm going to probably get bullied the entire time.
Yeah, my family's kind of merciless. You might not want to come. No, I've been not calling it a drought buster, but women don't have that. That's a men thing. That's a man thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Actually, don't you guys call them slump busters?
The same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, slump buster. That's a more... except, but it's the year of the drought buster. Just now that I'm thinking about it.
and then all of a sudden our show's walking in like John Travolta at the beginning of Saturday Night Fever, just like a little pep in our step.
The guy who does all our artwork, Kaplan, would be like, the year of the drought buster. I don't know what I'm going to do here and get away with it.
Just have everyone grinning, very big, wide smiles.
That's not what I was thinking. I was thinking
something else.
Yeah. Can you paint a C minus for me here?
What?
What?
Oh, that's my God.
Wow.
Just a bag over her head? Woo. Jeez, Pearl. Oh, man.
That's what we're talking about here, right?
The year of the drought breaker. Because Rory
won. The drought
won.
Breaker.
Doesn't hit the same.
Doesn't.
No. Yeah. Nope.
Drought buster.
Okay.
Yep.
Did Rory shed the choker label forever is what it says here on the sheet. That's what we're going to talk about.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.